It's really exciting. You know, I'm not going to give you the whole cliche intro to the men's lesson.
Yo, what's going on? We got the men in the house, you know what I'm talking about?
Every time there's a men split,
there's always the men, you know, like...
But
oh boy.
In that case, we're actually going to do it. So guys, I want you to get as loud as you can over here, all right? On three. One, two, three.
Yeah, it did sound like some cows.
No, but guys, I'm so glad to be speaking to you guys tonight. Actually, this past month has been a full year living in New York now.
Nice. Wow.
It's been amazing. It's been encouraging. I live in White Plains, New York, which is Westchester. So I spend most of my time during the week in the city. We're usually in the Bronx, so that's where I'm leading the campus ministry at. And it's been a great joy. You know,
come on, man.
To be here, I feel like I've been called to be here. And there's not a part of me that feels like I'm going against God's will for my life. Like I feel like I'm really in a place where I feel at peace and really carrying out God's will. So, but tonight I got the privilege of talking about Jesus, right? Which is literally the man that we're following, the man that transformed our lives and why we're here today.
Yeah.
And the title of the lesson is Allow Me to Reintroduce Myself. And as we all know, that's a lyric from who?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z himself, right? And so I'm going to introduce Jay-Z to you. I'm going to reintroduce Jay-Z to you real quick. Just tell you a couple facts about him. So one fact is he sold over 100 million records worldwide. And actually in one of his songs, he actually said, my uncle said, I'll never sell 1 million records. I sold 1 million records like 1 million times. Like that was one of his lines in his lyrics. Is that he sold his record over 1 million times, which is amazing when you really think about it. And this is worldwide. And the second thing about him is that he won 21 Grammy Awards.
Wow.
He ran 21 Grammys. Right now, he holds the record for the most number one albums by solo artists on Billboard 200. Multiple times. This wasn't even just one time. And last but not least, one of the facts about Jay-Z is that he's married to Beyonce. And that right there is amazing. And so as much as we hear about Jay-Z, he's influential, he's done incredible things. But I want to tell you some facts about Jesus, right? About Jesus and him. And before I state some facts about him, I want to just share this paragraph real quick about him. It says, maybe this is from a book. It says, maybe it may be surprising to some that out of the world's literature, the richest insights into how to become more influential would be the story about a man whose crown wasn't of gold, but was of thorns, and whose closest friends abandoned him in his last days. Why would we want to follow a man who was publicly beaten, whipped, and spat on? A man, because of his ways and his words, was condemned to die before the eyes of multitudes, nailed to a cross. Now look at Jay-Z's rap and look at Jesus's rap. What kind of man do you think is more inspiring?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, right? By the facts. But let's see what legacy Jesus left behind. Here's some facts about
him. Come on, Charles.
Yet Jesus of Nazareth is debatably the most influential man who has ever lived. In just 3 years, he began a movement that has influenced nearly everyone on the face of the planet in the past 20 centuries. What are some of the facts here? We're gonna get more specific. He was tempted in every way, and he never sinned.
Wow.
Think about all the temptations you go through in your life. Jesus was tempted with all of it, never sinned. He fulfilled every prophecy in the Old Testament that was talked about. Every single one. His followers, those who followed him, died for his cause. They risked their lives. The church, despite its humbling beginnings, has conquered Rome itself. So Rome was the most powerful empire at the time, and Christianity conquered Rome. A social reform began in Jesus' name. Hospitals, orphanages, homes for the widows were motivated and established because of his words and because of what he said. As a matter of fact, write the scripture down, which is still amazing when I read it. John 21, verse 25. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world will not have room for the books that will be written. Literally, if you were to put everything that Jesus did in his life on paper, because we have what God's given us right through the Gospels, but if you were to really talk about what he really did throughout his life, he was making this huge claim that there's not even enough room for the books on this world to put him in.
Huh.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And guys, we're going to be talking about Jesus and why was he the most influential man that ever lived. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And so, this passage is one of the first passages I read about Jesus that inspired me the most. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Actually, just verse 3. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." See, in this passage in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer is saying that Jesus is the exact, look at that, the exact reputation of his being. When people say, well, how is God real? How does God exist? How do we know how to connect to God? If God's real, why don't he just show up? You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, he already did 2,000 years ago. And he lived his life. Mm-hmm. And he showed everyone what God is like, the exact representation. And so what does that mean for us, for those who are following Jesus? It means that those who are in Christ, we have an identity. And what is that identity? Is that in you right now, if you're in Christ, you have the identity of the exact representation of God himself. That's what's in you right now. Is that you literally are like a representation of God on this earth. And guess what? God wouldn't have gave it to you if he didn't trust you to then show others what he's like. Isn't that pretty amazing? Like, and so my first point is we're gonna talk about is identity. Okay, we're talking about identity. So in Christ, in Jesus, we have an identity. See, personal identity is one of the most important things to understand about ourselves. Knowing who we are, what makes us tick, what makes us laugh, what gets on our nerves, mayonnaise, what brings us true joy, you know, how we look at life, how we deal with conflicts, even who we are and how we choose our friends. It all ties down to your identity. It affects us all. I'll tell you what, today in the world, this world is in an identity crisis today. And what do I mean by that? Just ask somebody. If you were to ask somebody who you are, how would you respond? How would they respond? Just say it, simple question, who are you? How would you respond? Right, many will respond with their hobbies, the school they go to, the career they make, the money they make. But what they realize is all these external things aren't really who you are. But it's just what you do. Because what happens if whatever that thing you're identifying yourself with is gone? You now have to replace that with something else. So then does that really define who you really are? Yes. Because an identity is something that can't be taken away from you. It's something that can't change. And in Jesus, we have a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 to 17. It says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." What's amazing is that in Christ, you actually are a new creation. You're brand new. Like, who you were before Jesus? Like, if you were transported back before you knew Christ, what would you see? What would you see? Like, now that you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Like, Jesus has given you a new identity that can't be taken away, that can't be snatched away from you. You know, and that's something that we can really put our faith in. And I'll be honest, you know, I can forget my identity sometimes. that I can forget that, man, and I'll be vulnerable with you guys. Like, right now, I'm in a full-time ministry, right? And I have thoughts of, like, man, who am I going to be if I don't have this job anymore? Like, who am I, like, if God, for whatever reason, or something happens, and I'm not in the ministry anymore, working for the church, where am I going to be? Who am I? Right? And I forget that sometimes. And I can let my position be my identity rather than God being my identity. You know what I'm saying? And so I really, really have to fight for that. I really have to fight to remember, man, I am, in Jesus, I am the exact representation of God's being. And that can't be taken away from me. And so the second part here that I want to share with you guys is Jesus was a man of preparation and purpose. Mm. You know, let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. So he gives us a really good, this scripture really gives us a really good insight into, you know, what fueled Jesus. Like, what did he do to really get purposeful in his life? Mark 1, verse 35. This is pretty inspiring. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. When was the last time I did that? You know what I'm saying? When was the last time I woke up when it was still dark? You know? That's already inspiring right there, right? It says, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I've come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. And what's cool about this passage, what I want to park on a little bit here, is that Jesus really prioritized his time with God. I mean, very early in the morning while it was still dark. You know, I read that, I'm convicted. And I'm like, why would he get up that early? Did he have to? I mean, was that even necessary? But when you think about Jesus' life and what he did, and if you had to write all that he did in his life in a book, and you didn't have enough space in the world to put it, best believe that man's getting up before the sun comes up, right? Like, his life was a consistency of getting up and really preparing his heart for the day. And if you read more in that chapter, you can read it on your own, but it really goes through a whole day in Jesus' life. Like, literally, goes that whole chapter. And, I mean, he gets up early in the morning, and then there's tons of people waiting for him. The minute he's done spending his time with God, and then he's healing people, he's teaching, and then he's, like, taking this demon out of somebody. I mean, this is what this dude did on a regular. So it was so important that he was getting up early, spending his time with God. And what does that mean for us, you know? When's the last time we got up early and really decided, you know, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. I'm going to get time with him. I want to get to know him. I want to get strength from him. Right? Like, I think that's so important, because Jesus was a man who never sinned. And yet we fall short. How much more do we need to do this? You know, how much more should we be connected to that? And so Jesus sets such a great example of, man, I need to spend my time with God. I need to persevere. And you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, number three is perseverance, right? Let me tell you guys, I wish life was easier. I'll be honest with you, man. Life gets tough. You know, life gets difficult. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus even says in John 16:33, he says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
That's just, I wish it was different, but it's not. It's the reality. But what I love about Jesus here is we can turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. He actually gives us a little insight on, okay, like, what helped Jesus persevere? Like, how did he get through the difficult times in his life? In Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so here in this passage,
we see that Jesus, the Hebrew writer is telling us that Jesus saw the joy that was set before him. And
what was
the scripture? It's 2?
12 verse 10.
All right, 12:2. My fault.
Oh, 12:2.
Yeah,
my bad. So Hebrews 12 verse 2. So I'll read it one more time. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Mm.
And so here in this passage is talking about Jesus, right? And the writer's saying that Jesus saw the joy that was before him. Now try to picture that for a second. He looked at the cross, the very cross he was going to get crucified on, and what he saw was joy. Why do you think he saw that? Let's get some hands. Let's get some response.
It's almost over.
Huh?
It's almost over.
It's almost over. Okay.
I think that, like, through his suffering, he knew that many would get saved, many would get set free. Mm-hmm. So I think he's seen the future, seeing everybody being saved by his blood, like, during his suffering.
Yeah.
He saw the amounts of people that would be saved, people that would be changed through that, right?
About?
Yeah, about.
Oh, it's me back there.
Or you go.
Yeah, he fulfilled his destiny.
Yeah, he fulfilled his destiny, right? Yeah.
He knew that he was going to come back home to his father.
He knew he was going to come back home for his father, right? Sometimes you can feel like that when you're going through rough times. It's like, Lord, is this the day? Because I'm done. I'm like, I'm ready to go to heaven, y'all. I'm done with this. You know, that's real, right?
Jesus came
back. Yeah, he's like, man, I just want to go back to the father, right? And we can feel that sometimes.
Yeah.
That's real, but you wanted to show something?
Yeah, I was just going to say he knew that it would... It was what God wanted him to do. So it would bring honor to God.
Right. Like he knew that was what God wanted him to do. Even though that was so challenging, he still submitted to doing God's will, which is like very powerful. You know. So how can we learn from Jesus? What can you see through your trials right now? What is a joy that you can see in your own life? This is just a question you can write down for yourself and kind of reflect on it. But what joy is set before you? What are some things in your life right now that you feel like, man, I don't know if I can get through this. I don't know if I can persevere. I don't know if I... Because trust me, there is a joy on the other side of whatever that is. But it has to be doing God's will, right? Because that's what Jesus was doing, right? God's will was what he was doing. And on the other side, he knew there was joy. There's always joy on the other side of God's will, guys. This is definitely, what was the joy for Jesus? It's that all men will be saved. All men will have an opportunity to be saved. All men will have the opportunity to have a relationship with God. That is an incredible love. And he was able to finish and persevere. Right? So perseverance is so important. Right? And something about perseverance too is that you kind of got to finish what you started, if that makes sense. You know, I got some stats here, and this is stats specifically about men, all right? These are facts about men.
Come on, Charles.
It says only 36% of full-time male students complete their bachelor's degree.
Wow.
36%.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, right? Number two. Startup business failure rate by the industry. So basically, anyone, like any male who starts up a business, you know, it says the failure rate of all US companies where a male started the business, after 2 to 5 years, there's a 50% chance of the business losing when it starts. 50%. Right. And lastly here, it says 50%, there's a 50% chance of divorce of married couples. Now this can mean men or women, but there's a 50% chance of anybody that gets married in the US that will fall into divorce. 50%. And honestly, that has been rising and rising since 1960. It's been rising, and the way the world is today, it's gonna get worse, right? And so guys, we need men that are going to persevere and finish what they started.
Yeah.
We can't give up.
we got to see that Jesus was a man that didn't give up. Look at Isaiah 42:4. This is a great, actually, this is one of my favorite passages. Like, man, this one's really good. I'll say write it down and look at it at every translation you can find. This is amazing. This is a prophecy made about Jesus. It says, in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. The one thing that blew me away about the scripture is that it says that Jesus will not falter or will not be discouraged. Hold up. So you tell me that Jesus didn't allow himself to be discouraged?
Wow.
What? That's a whole quiet time for like 4 hours trying to figure that out, right? This man didn't even allow himself to be discouraged.
Wow.
That's a powerful thing. What a model we have in Jesus, right?
Right.
What hope we have in a man that never fails, that never allowed himself to be discouraged. And I want to encourage you guys. Maybe some of you here feel like, you know what, I want to give up on whatever it might be. But I want to encourage you guys that just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you failed. You failed on the day you decided to give up. There's a difference. You fell on the day you decided to throw in the towel. And I want to encourage a lot of you guys here, because you guys are fighting temptations, you're trying to be like Jesus in this world, and you've been on some times where you're like, I don't know if I can do this. But I want to encourage you, I'm so excited that you're still here today. That you're still fighting. And you're still trying not to be like the world. This group right here, guys, these are the men that are going to transform our college ministries in New York City.
Yeah.
Literally. And guys, I'm really encouraged that you're deciding, you know what, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep this fight. I'm going to stay to be pure. I'm going to stay to fight and not be discouraged and keep fighting the good fight. So at the end of my life, Jesus can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, guys. So this last part here, what we'll share is, Jesus was a man of compassion. We turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now, a man of compassion. I'll be honest with you guys. Saying those two things in the same sentence, at first when I really read about Jesus and learned about him, that didn't quite make sense to me. That a man could be compassionate. Right? And I think where that came from was a lot of my background and a lot of what I wasn't able to feel in my life. For example, I didn't have a father figure in my life. Maybe some of you guys could relate to that. So the whole idea of someone that I could look up to, a role model, a man like a father to me, that could love me, have compassion for me, that wasn't there. You know, I grew up with a lot of guys that were just kind of in and out of the house. My mom would be in a relationship, out of a relationship, new guy, and I'm thinking, is this going to be the guy that's going to stick around? Well, maybe not. Next guy comes in. And it was just this in and out of this desire of wanting to see compassion and wanting love in my life. Can any of you guys relate to that?
Yeah.
And I think as men, guys, we got an opportunity to be extremely compassionate like Jesus. And that's going to be an amazing thing if we can really grab hold of that. So let's go to Mark 1 and kind of see how Jesus did this. In Mark 1, verse 40, it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. Sorry. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved, this is the NLT, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. This is an amazing interaction. I want us to kind of break this down a little bit, but we see that a man with leprosy comes up to Jesus. Does anybody know what leprosy is?
It's a disease that kind of like just rots away at your body.
Yeah, it's a disease, a bacterial disease that rots your, you know, your skin away to the bones and so, yep. Yep, and so what do you think a man with leprosy might be feeling, right? This is also a contagious thing, right? No one should be around. What do you think are some things he probably had to deal with knowing that he was in that condition?
Deal with isolation.
Yeah, he had to deal with isolation, right?
Pressure.
Right. So he probably had, he couldn't be close to people, man. He probably didn't have a lot of relationships with people in his life, yeah.
I know back in those times, if you had like a disease like that, you probably got it from your parents sinning or whatever. So you were like very unclean. And so you were born as a sinner because you had that disease that was on your body. So like you were known to not be looked at as a person in their society back in those times. You were an outsider basically.
Right. And so here we see that this man, was he just physically ill?
No, he was mentally ill.
Mentally ill, right? Yeah. Emotionally ill, right?
Yeah.
Spiritually. You can only, spiritually, right? You can almost imagine what kind of life he was living, just completely isolated. And yet, this is a man who was isolated, but yet Jesus saw him, and what did Jesus feel when he saw him?
Compassion.
Love and compassion.
Yeah, love and compassion. You think that's something that man was used to?
No.
Nope. All right, now, guess what? It gets a little crazier. We might skip over this, but in verse 41, it says, "Move with compassion." Jesus reached out and did what?
Touched
that man. Touched him. Now, if you were there in the audience, and you saw Jesus touch this man, he didn't really know who Jesus was. What would you be thinking?
He did.
Yeah. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, do you not understand, right? But you wouldn't go close. You'd probably say it from a distance. You know?
Like, yo, bro.
Yeah, yo, chill. But what's crazy is that, guys, when you're moved with compassion, you're going to do things that look crazy to the world. Mm-hmm. You're going to do things as men that's not going to make sense. Oh, snap. These men, they be hugging each other. You know how weird I thought that was when I came to this church, man? I thought that was the weirdest thing ever. I'm like, what? No, this dude just met you for the first time. Yo,
sorry,
what's up,
man.
Bro? Yeah. but, you know, it's crazy. Let's be real. That's just not what you see. But what's amazing is that us as men, we have Jesus as the example that we can then show compassion to other people. Right? And so, in verse 41, it says, "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And it says, instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Guys, your compassion can make an instant impact. An instant one. It could be one word you say to somebody. It could be one act of service that can instantly transform somebody's life. Because that's what Jesus did. He had interactions. He healed people. He had conversations with people that changed their lives. Like, guys, you get to have instant healing. You have instant healing power, bro, in you. Like, that's what you got. Mm. You can meet somebody this week, next week, anytime, today, or when we go outside, that can literally be transformed by an interaction they have with you. That's amazing. And guys, and I want to tell you about this one guy that actually happened to. You know, there was this guy coming out of the library. He was looking up tattoos. You know, just trying to figure out what tattoo he wanted to get next. And he comes outside, and some random guy comes up to him and says, "Hey, you want to come out to this Bible study? This Bible time?" I'm like, "Bible?" And I was just looking up scriptures for a Bible tattoo. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it's not. I gave it away.
But guys, that was me. So I came out, looking up, you know, scriptures, and then, you know, and Rob is who met me. We sat down, we studied the Bible, and in just 2 weeks, I decided to be a disciple. 2 weeks, man. And I'm here about to be 7 years.
Wow.
Following Jesus.
Wow.
Woo! Yeah, let's clap it up. Literally, what was it? It was because a disciple of Jesus. And dude, Rob grew up on a farm. I grew up in the hood. Like, you see what God can do. He can take anybody from any situation, any, like, and literally, I met him 2 weeks later. I'm baptized, and now he's one of my best friends. And now he's helped me grow spiritually, and I'm grateful for him because he decided to have an act of Jesus to have compassion on me. Guys, who can you change this week? Who can you help change this week for Christ? Mm. I truly believe that every man in here who's in Christ can make an impact right away. It can transform lives. Who knows? Someone you meet this week might be up here where I'm doing 3 years later from now. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it just takes a heart of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And things can happen instantly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, guys. So how we're gonna kind of finish up this time together is we're gonna have a Jesus study workshop.